Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help.
Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
And I love Julius's topic today, which is anger management. First of all, Julius, I have to imagine you see a number of clients who kind of are all over the spectrum with this, like some who maybe deal with it from time to time, others who this is like a daily process for them.
Yes. Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, anger is a major issue that a lot of people wrestle with. And we always try to kind of dig and find out what are the root causes? Why do I feel angry? What makes me angry? And where does it all come from? So it's a process.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, first of all, how do you even address this? Like, if you don't even recognize that you have anger management issues, some people don't realize that.
Yeah. Well, some people don't even listen to the way they talk to other people.
That's true.
And what happens is over a long period of time, you end up being disrespectful. You don't mean to be, but you've just heard your mother or your grandmother or your cousin talk in a certain way or treat someone in a certain way. And consequently becomes learned behavior for you. And that's where you don't see it. That's where you need some good friends, a good network, somebody in your life to speak truth to you. But a lot of it boils back in the way you feel, too. Because a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety can be rooted back to unresolved anger.
So here's my question, which probably seems very elementary, so forgive me for that. But is it okay to even feel anger? Like, I mean, we talk about how it could get out of hand and that people need to be under control. But, like, is it okay to feel angry? I would think that's natural.
Absolutely. We all feel angry from time to time, and any emotion you feel, it's very, very good to feel that. But what's even better is to talk about that. And some people are raised in environments where they're told to suppress it, to not talk about it, to put up with it. I know that in your email to me, you mentioned about the potato head, and you had some listeners concerned about the new rebranding of the potato head. And that's a whole topic for anger that gets people riled. But you can disagree without being disagreeable. To accept someone's opinion doesn't mean you necessarily agree with them.
Yeah, I think that's a very common misconception. I think more than even like feeling guilty. I think sometimes, because I even ran into this during one of my shows earlier this week, Julius, where when we were talking about because they've now decided to go back on their branding deal. But when we were talking about it, you know, I had an expert on who came on who talked about transgender rights and protecting gender neutral populations. And, you know, I personally did not agree with the idea to change the branding. I felt that there was a better way that we could address inclusion. But I think this is where it got confusing was I had a guest on who completely disagreed with what I had said. And I appreciated them coming on because I think it's okay. If anything, I think we should be more open-minded to other people, even if we don't agree with them.
Right. Right. Well, we have to respect each other and act like grown-ups. And that's, you know, my wife teaches nursery school, and she always is teaching the children to be a kind friend. Mm-hmm. Many of our politicians need to be kind friends and need to respond to each other with more respect and more mm-hmm. dignity. And that's, I feel like, what we've lost. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times your anger drives you to say and do things that are really not right. And we're not accountable for what other people believe. And that's another issue. You know, we're only accountable for what we believe. So it is a topic that, you know, needs to be talked about. Mm-hmm. And the best that people can do in managing their anger is to listen to their anger and ask, what is the anger teaching me? And have some good people in your life, a good network in your life, people who can confront you and say, hey, you know, you're not doing well. And that's where you need to take a step back. And if it's a significant issue, get some professional help.
Where does anger even really come from?
That's a great question. And I used to teach anger management, and I love this acrostic. If you take the word angry and you write it vertically, A-N-G-R-Y, A stands for angry, N stands for nature versus nurture. Nature meaning your biological propensity. Nurture is how you were raised. If you had a crazy Aunt Tilly that had explosive personality disorder, for instance, and you learned it through that. ANG stands for Ablot Goal. R stands for respect or lack of respect, and that's why people get angry. And Y stands for many people are angry at themselves, you. And so that's pretty much all anger can fall into: nature, nurture, block, goal, respect, and you, those categories. But it's the way that we process. It is okay to feel angry. In fact, the good book says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't hold on to your anger. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes so many people to go within, and all of a sudden their inner dialogue is, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to get some guns, I'm going to store some guns in my house, and they go off and they do crazy things because they're not really acknowledging their anger, and they're not really dealing with their anger by talking about it. So the best thing you can do is to listen to it and ask yourself, is it really impeding my growth and development? Mm-hmm. And talk about it. And there are a lot of people out there that can help. So you don't want anger to control you. You want to control your anger. But Melissa, emotions are wonderful to feel, but it's what's more important is that we talk about those emotions and why we feel the way we feel. Where does that come from?
Yeah, so. And not letting anger kind of define what your next plan of attack is going to be. No pun intended. But, you know, it's because it's true. You know, and the reason I had asked earlier about where it comes from is because there are so many moments where I feel like I've got it under control. Like I feel like I'm good and I can overcome when somebody disses me or says something mean or acts a certain way. Like I can overcome it. I could still love the situation and find a positive somewhere. But there are moments, Julius, where you just feel like you are defeated. And that's where the anger kind of comes from, is you're like, you know what? I've had it. I'm done. You know,
And when you get there, if you let people push your buttons, then they've got control over you. They've got power over you.
Right.
But that's where self-control comes in. And that's the fruit of the God's spirit, God's presence within us, being self-controlled.
Right.
So letting us feel the anger, but not letting it define us or not letting it cause us to say or do things that are disrespectful to others. Mm-hmm. But it's all about, we feel better about ourselves when we're in control. I like myself more as a loving person opposed to an angry and bitter person.
Amen to that.
And the bottom line is sometimes we walk in life and we really don't like ourselves.
And
that's a part of the, you don't agree with me, so you're offending me, and it's all about me. And you've got to understand that when you really have a healthy self-esteem rooted in the fact that God's presence is in you and he loves you, you're going to be able to love other people and deal with the anger in a more healthy way.
Mm. Julius, this is it sounds so simple, but it is a complex issue that a lot of people need to work through, including myself. Yeah. So how do people reach out to you if they could get some of your guidance on this? It'd be really helpful.
Sure. They can call the office. They can call 203-243-7714. Or they can find me on Bark, www.bark.com, and read about that or look me up on Facebook. But the best way is to call the office and make an appointment.
All right, Julius.
And
always
basically my cell phone. Yeah.
All right, perfect. Almost. Well, I always appreciate having you on. Thank you so much, and we'll talk next week.
Melissa, thanks for the work you do. You keep at it.
Thank you. We have been making an example of Stamford since the vaccine rollout began. And who better to talk to this morning than Stamford Mayor David Martin, who is here. And with the expansion yesterday, Mayor Martin, how are things going in Stamford this morning?
Well, we're putting more vaccine into arms, Melissa.
That's good. That's a good thing. Not upset about that.
We're going to do at least 9,000 doses in Stamford this week, and with J&J, depending upon that, that's how that's allocated, we'll do more than that. Incidentally, that's 9,000 doses, plus we are scheduling about 1,100 doses for our elementary teachers on Saturday, and there may be a material upside to that, in which case we've got another 1,900 teaching staff that we're waiting in line that we're probably going to do next week, provided we have vaccine. We are going to try to get the daycare workers done this weekend. That is still in the planning stage. The hospital does most of our vaccines. We've partnered with them, with our Department of Public Health. Then CHC, Community Health Centers, does the drive-through at Lord and Taylor, and they're probably going to use extra vaccine that they've been allocated to do the daycare workers and our essential workers within the city of Stamford who are over 55. So let me tell you, every day it's a new vaccine distribution. It's a new this, it's a new that. But we're constantly planning. I've got to tell you, I've already got an appointment to speak with the Commissioner of Public Health this morning about data availability.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get the data to help us optimize, but we're working hard.
So you're going to be chatting with Dr. Gifford later this morning about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we try to run things from facts here rather than opinions.
Yes.
And you need the facts.
Yeah. Yep. That's why you're on my show, because that's exactly what I run by as well. I love that, Mayor Martin. I love that. I know I got a couple of friends who are teachers in Stanford. They are thrilled to get vaccinated sooner rather than later. So that is exciting. Now, how are you guys doing with expanding? You know, initially, you guys were only allowing for Stanford residents. The last time I had you on, I think we kind of talked about that. It's really open to the state of Connecticut. Are you still finding most people who are vaccinating there are from Stanford, or are you finding the surrounding community is starting to realize, oh, we could go to Stanford. We could use their resources.
Well, actually, if I told you that we are only doing Stanford residents, then I misspoke previously, because we've always been doing, we've acted as a regional vaccination clinic. I don't have all the data from all the facilities. I mean, we have our bedbound program, which we started over a week ago, where we'll go to individual homes. We're only doing Stanford for that, but we're talking, you know, handfuls of people. The hospital, which has been doing somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 to 7,000, 8,000 a week,
wow,
more than half of the hospital is for residents of other towns, and that would include Greenwich, New Canaan, Darien, Wilton, and I was up at the CHC site when the lieutenant governor came down to visit, and I was speaking to a resident from Weston, who was just as happy as anybody from Stanford. And quite frankly, yes, I've got to represent Stanford first, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, people travel in and out of Stanford. I want everybody vaccinated.
Yes.
And I don't care where you live within the state of Connecticut. I don't care what country you came from. I don't care the color of your skin. We want everybody vaccinated.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the reason we did a program. We've actually had, and these were mostly done with CHC, we move back and forth, because some people like hospital are really great at the mass vaccination system, and others are better at some of our outreach, and so we've been doing a lot of outreach with the CHC, and over the, what the heck's going on here, I'm sorry, getting a little bit confused, we've done programs in about six low-income residents in using CHC, and then last Saturday we had a program where we were at Bethel AME Church on Fairfield Avenue. We got another 119 in arms, and what I was happy about, this was targeted to get at that low-income community in that neighborhood and make certain that they got their vaccines, and lo and behold, the church and the NAACP and family centers and new neighborhoods and the senior center and, of course, the city, we were all working together. We got another 119 done. And I was so pleased to see so many people of the neighborhood, and the pastor of the church was there getting his shot.
That's so great. I love that. Talking to Stanford Mayor Martin this morning. Now, Mayor Martin, I don't know if you heard about this. It was actually in my top news around the region. The feds are pretty concerned about this dangerous new strand of COVID that was circulating in New York. It apparently is called B1526. And Dr. Fauci says it probably started in Upper Manhattan's Washington Heights, which, you know, you just said, people coming in and out of Stanford like crazy. You got a lot of people who live in Stanford to work in New York. How are you feeling about that?
Listen, I do this weekly Zoom meeting to talk about the cases in Stanford,
yes,
the vaccination rate and all that stuff every night at 6 o'clock, every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and I'll do it again. And we've had a couple of those sessions that have been focused completely on the variants. What they're doing, not completely on the variants, we show the numbers. And it scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, really. I'm sure.
These strains that are far more virulent, I think that's technically the wrong word.
They're like more contagious.
You know, it's oh my gosh, you know, they're now saying that by the end of this month, these more infectious strains are going to take over. And while the vaccines are supposed to still be efficacious against them, and that's everything I've seen says they are, there's still those questions. Is it going to Is it going to somehow mutate away in a way that the vaccines aren't 95% effective anymore, but they're only 65% effective? Well, I'll take 65% any day of the week.
Sure.
Nothing, but they are of concern to me, and that's I've gone to double masking. So I now have a cloth disposable mask that I wear, and then I have a fabric disposable mask, you know, like those hospital-looking masks.
Right, sure.
Wear a mask over that because I'm not vaccinated. Actually, we're planning my vaccination now that we're getting our teachers done this weekend. I'll probably get my vaccination in about 10 days or so, and I really can't wait, but I wanted the employees of the city of Stamford to have that first shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to know, I'm worried about it. I'm going to do the double masking, and I'm going to try to continue to be very careful even after I get my vaccination.
And I know, really quick, I know we're running out of time, but Governor Lamont had mentioned that he may kind of ease restrictions for the travel advisory. So at this point, with knowing another variant that was literally right over the line in New York, and that variants are popping up, do you think it's a good idea to ease up on the travel advisory or no?
You know, I have lots of opinions. I'm certain it seems like everybody does.
Yes, that's true.
But I like to see the data. I like to see the facts. And in this case, I haven't seen the facts yet. I am nervous about those variants, but we are getting the vaccination out. And if he's going to open up more travel 6 weeks from now, then maybe that's okay because we've got more shots in arms by then. I'm a little nervous right now, as you can understand. Hey, Stamford is the really what I keep calling the epicenter of the risk for Connecticut because we're close to New York City. We've got a diverse population. We've got lots of people traveling back and forth as a destination city. And as a result, I don't want to say we're more vulnerable because we've done much better than many other large cities. But having said that, it is a dangerous place to be, which is why we're working so hard to get the vaccination. We're encouraging everybody wear the mask, keep the social distancing, till this is all over, and hopefully it will be over as opposed to new variants that set us back again.
Yeah, amen to that. All right, Mayor Martin, thank you so much for popping on this morning, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much. You be safe in the meantime.
Thanks, you too. We are heading into Ansonia this morning, where Mayor David Cassetti is, and Mayor Cassetti, one of the news articles that ended up in the Connecticut Post reads, Ansonia police investigating multiple catalytic converter thefts. What is going on with that? Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Melissa. Yes, we identified a vehicle going around, not only in Ansonia, Melissa, but the Valley towns, cutting out the catalytic converters for the copper and silver that's in it. We do have a car that we've identified, and the police are right now investigating all that.
So is this something that's going on, do you know, across the state of Connecticut? Has this been a problem in Ansonia before? Like, what prompted this?
It happened back in 2003. There was a at the car dealerships, the catalytic converters were being cut out. Nothing ever happened. They were never able to get anybody, any suspect. But right now we do identify a vehicle, a gray vehicle, Honda, that is going around cutting them out. But jeez. I haven't heard anything yet from the chief. It is under investigation.
I mean, is there anything, with something like this, you're kind of like a sitting duck, I would say. Like, is there anything you're letting residents know to avoid their cars being targeted?
Oh, yes. Yes, park your car in a lighted area where you have the strobe lights so that if somebody's around it, a light will go on, it'll get the person to run away from it. I mean, there's certain things that people ask to do. I also ask them to lock their cars. There's been some break-ins in Ansonia, but this is because people have been leaving their car doors open, unlocked, and that's not a good thing. You should always lock your car doors. That's what I tried to stress in a robocall to the residents.
Oh, okay, so a robocall went out already.
Yeah.
Is there like a lot of money to be had in this market? I've never even really heard of this kind of theft.
I guess some catalytic converters, there's silver. There's a certain percentage of silver and copper.
Okay.
I mean, not much, but that's what they do.
I mean, people have stolen copper pipes before, so it's not like it's unheard of.
Yeah. That happened in houses, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Kind of switching gears a little bit, Mayor Cassetti, your budget is final. So what can people expect?
Well, the mayor's budget is final, and I'm happy to announce my budget, which is going to go to the Board of Aldermen on March 9th, to hopefully get ratified. It calls for no tax increase. You know, our taxes are lower than they were 7 years ago when I took office. I've cut the mill rate, and I stabilized taxes the last 7 years. And I'm happy to give this budget, showing that it doesn't hurt any city services. Everybody's going to get what they got to get. And it's a flat budget.
Okay, so Mayor Cassetti, don't get mad at me, but I have to play devil's advocate, especially coming out of a pandemic. How did you do that, not raise taxes? Like, did someone get cut? Did something get cut?
No. When I took office, Melissa, our annual budget was $63 million. Mm-hmm. It's now $57 million. What I did is I consolidated jobs where people retired. I didn't replace them.
Okay.
And I just consolidated a job. I saved over $700,000 in city hall expenses alone. Wow. Over the last 7 years.
Wow. Okay. All right. Talking this morning to Ansonia Mayor David Cassetti. And, you know, the other thing that I'm hearing about is it looks like you guys just added $7 million with a new assessor and got a letter from the housing development office.
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes, we hired a new assessor because the old one retired.
Okay.
Not retired, resigned and went to another job.
Oh.
We brought in a new assessor from Waterbury. He's a wonderful person. He's only been on the job, I think, 4 weeks, just about a month. In fact, a month today. He came February 2nd. He found $7 million of assets that we could add to our grand list, bringing our grand list over $1.6 billion for a town our size.
Jeez.
And when I took to office, our grand list was only $778 million. It's now $1.76 billion.
That's so. Can you explain that? How did that happen? That's
well,
amazing.
Well, let me tell you, there was quite a bit of the utility companies that have underground services in our town.
Uh-huh.
that were never taxed for their pipelines and their cable lines.
Oh wow!
And that's where David Graybosch is his name, our assessor, found it. And that's where we found the extra funds.
Wow. I mean, that's significant. That's a huge jump.
Very significant. This is what we need. This is the reason why I'm trying to stabilize taxes in this small community here. And this is the way we go about doing it. And mm-hmm. then I just received a letter last Friday from the Housing and Urban Development in Washington, turning that land on Olson Drive over to the city of Ansonia. Now, that land has been in their possession since 1958. All right.
What?
They had a housing they had the housing projects there. We tore the housing projects down back in 2015, and that land belonged to them. We've been asking them to turn it over to us because I have a sports complex and a manufacturing company that are interested in it.
That's fantastic. Okay, so it now is owned by the city of Ansonia, which is great. Now, like, what, you know, how soon could we possibly see that development?
Well, this development, I got to tell you, the developer has been after me. He says, I'm not gonna start this project until you have that letter in your hand. Now that I have the letter in the hand, I was able to show it to him. Now he's proceeding with plans and specs for the project.
Okay, so I don't want to make, obviously, promises before we know, but what is possibly going in there that people can look forward to?
Well, what it is, it's going to be a sports complex, an indoor football, baseball, and soccer field.
Oh, awesome.
And then there's also an area of land where a manufacturing school wants to come, and he wants to do something with that.
Wow. So, I mean, ballpark, any idea how many jobs that's bringing into Ansonia?
That the manufacturing job will probably bring about 60 jobs.
Okay.
There. That's what we're hoping for.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of big things happening in Ansonia. Anything else before I let you go, Mayor?
No, I'm also talking with Amazon about Fountain Lake. Up in Fountain Lake, we have an industrial park. There's a 12-acre section they're looking at, because it's right off of Route 8, north and south, and they're interested in a center there for
a distribution center?
a distribution center.
Okay, very nice. All right, yeah, but Amazon still, seems to be popping
still,
up.
That's still small. That's still in the works, and I'll be reporting on that soon.
All right. Well, we always love checking in with you, Antonio Mayor David Cassetti. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great rest of your day.